Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church Podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
No matter the difference, we are brought together by one thing, the gift that Christ Jesus has given us. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, His church. Focused on the one thing that should unite us, Jesus. So do you accept? Do you receive the gift from God?
Good morning again, MCC family and friends. We are so excited that you are here in the building or watching online. And today is Next Gen Sunday, guys. Woo-hoo! We are super, super excited. You've seen students and young people all over from fourth grade through our young adults. They've been serving everywhere you can think of on this campus, on the worship band, and everywhere else. It has been an amazing, amazing time because we are a diverse community seeking to see future generations transformed by the gospel. And we're so grateful for Pastor Phil and this opportunity for us to be before you today. And while I'm excited about all of that good stuff, I'm really excited, Shay, because I get to share the stage, this holy place, with my brother from another mother. Shout out to Miss Pam if you're watching back in Illinois. Mama Pam, Tony Spranger, our student ministry pastor, guys. Yeah. So we really are excited about leading us into part four of our current series, A United Church in a Divided World, this walk through Ephesians that we've been doing. And last week, Pastor Phil took us through a prayer of hope and power. And in that message last week, we learned or gained a greater understanding, if you will, how Paul longed for a united church in a divided world, Tony. Yeah. And I hope that we're like him, that we can be like Paul, Anna, that not only do we pray for people, but we specifically lead in the best way we can, Mitch, on how we become a united people, even in this divided and fallen world. Paul wrote this. He said, I keep asking that that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Anybody want to know the Lord better? I mean, it's cool that we know him, but I mean, we should always want to know him better, right? Because that is an amazing, amazing thing. And we learned that many Christians today, Pastor Tony, they post and say things about, wisdom that they think is wisdom. A lot of times it ain't wisdom, buddy.
Did they use a spell check?
They probably don't. Yet they haven't done anything to humbly, Michael, say, Lord, give me wisdom. They haven't done anything to do what they need to do to have wisdom, to walk in wisdom, to be able to live in wisdom. And a result of that has been damage and division, not just in the church, but outside of the church. Why? Because people experience people from the church that can be a little judgmental, can be a little harsh at times, and they're pontificating about what they believe wisdom to be, but they don't have a clue.
Nope.
Remember this. You can have knowledge without wisdom. You know that, right? You can have knowledge without wisdom, but you cannot have wisdom without knowledge. The Bible tells us that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you.
Yeah. And so this week we get to talk about the subject from death to life. And in our scripture verse this morning, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, and it is by grace you have been saved.
And God raised us up with Christ Jesus, with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but Pastor DJ and I, we love a good movie.
Yeah, good movie.
And as a kid, I grew up a big DC fan, or even Justice League. And so it pains me just a little bit to say that the Avenger movies are a little bit better of the hero genre. Agree? Yeah?
All right.
But what makes a good movie a good movie? Well, it's the drama. It could be when that someone is in distress, even to the point of death. It's that where someone is hopeless and unable to help themselves, when it just seems like all is lost, and then all of a sudden, a crackle over the radio, and then a voice is heard, and it says,
"On your left, Cap."
Nothing? No goosebumps? I get goosebumps just thinking about this scene. Such a good scene. Such a good scene. Oh, okay. Well, apparently, we like a little bit more.
Yeah, I guess it's okay. That's a us thing, I guess.
I guess. We're old. Anyway, a hero, or two, three, maybe four, a little bit more, who knows, appears to rescue them, to pull them from certain death, and to restore hope. And as they are sitting around talking about the stories of these great battles, you know, maybe even eating shawarma, and retelling the story, they talk about the bravery and sacrifice of the heroes. And usually their statements can be boiled down to a few phrases. They have saved my life. I'm eternally grateful. Or I owe them everything.
And Pastor Tony, in our text today, we find the same type of scene, right? So Steve, here, the Apostle Paul is telling the Christians, he's testifies to the Christians concerning hopelessness and helplessness of our natural condition, the natural man, right? And that we are spiritually alive today only because of God's love for us, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by his grace, right? That's only the only way we're alive today, physically and spiritually. There are some, you know, some teachers, Pastor Tony, that, or even students of the faith that believe that this may be one of Paul's or Paul's most interesting or powerful epistles. Why? Because it pertains to opening the eyes of the Christian. See, before this, their eyes were still closed to the work of faith and the work of the Lord. They were closed to the marvelous grace and superabundant love of God. They were closed to that. And it helps them to understand what it means for God to have poured his grace out on all of us. See, it's in this text right here, Amy, that Paul tells, he presents to the Christians with a rather unpleasant form of news that we were, in fact, spiritually dead. Yeah, spiritually dead. And by nature, we're children of wrath prior to our adoption as sons and daughters by the Lord. Right? So we were hopeless. We were unable to help ourselves. And we still can't today, Steve, without God's grace. It's only God's grace that allows us to be able to do the things that we do and the wonderful blessings that we've experienced, Steve, that here and now and often, they're only made possible only by the grace of God. See, Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians in an attempt, Riley, to help persuade them to put their faith in the Lord. Today, we want to highlight a few things. Some things that this backward glance at what Paul is telling and teaching us, Pastor Tony, helps to show us some things. And no, we're not talking about the things from the Cat in the Hat. Not those things. Oh, we're not talking about these things. We're talking about three other things, right? And things that prove, right? They prove that every believer, Ollie, or every non-believer can be saved from death and given life.
And today, the first thing that we're going to talk about is that we've all been saved from something. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You see, Paul tells us we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Were. Now, where are all my people that grew up in the 80s? Where are my peers, my Gen Xers? Yeah, okay, beautiful. All right. Now, next question is to see how many of you want to admit it. But how many of you admit to watching wrestling, WWF wrestling? All right. Thank you. I'm not alone. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Mitch.
So when I was growing up, my dad is about 6'5", and he had long blonde hair. He had the handlebar mustache, which I've been banned from growing. And he liked wearing a red bandana with maybe a gold tank top.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. I see where he's going with that.
It was not uncommon for me to have my friend see my dad at a ball game or something and go, "Dude, your dad looks like Hulk Hogan." In full transparency, my dad has been in Chicago a time or two and actually signed autographs as Hulk Hogan. So it's true. So, but not to be a downer or an Eeyore about the situation, but no matter how big of a Hulkamaniac you were, no amount of vitamins you take, prayers you say, no matter how healthy you eat, no matter how much you exercise, no matter if you have 12-inch arms like Joshua or 24-inch arms like Jaden, no matter how good the doctor's report is, if you've been running wild too much, you still, unless Jesus comes back, everyone in this room will experience a physical death.
Yeah.
And then there's something far worse than that. You see, Paul tells us that the real downer is that not that the death that we experience at the end of our life, but rather it's when we experience death while still living. Nothing is worse than being separated from God. It's a spiritual death that creates this separation. And without Jesus, people are dead spiritually. Church, spiritual death is a real thing. Here's an example. A spiritual death is the inability to reason about spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." So basically, this is when people are numb or tuned out when it comes to spiritual truths. Here's a spiritual truth for you. Everyone is walking on a spiritual path, whether they are consciously aware of it or not. And along that spiritual path, we face things that can make us spiritually dead. First, there's the world. The ways of this world can rub off on us at times. And when we take on the world's broken values, it's like falling in mud. It slows us down. It makes the journey more difficult. And pretty soon, we begin to focus solely on the mud that we are in, and we lose sight of the destination of our journey. The mud of this world can make us dirty, like the sin in our life. Our lives are never the same until we can be washed of that mud or that sin. And only the blood of Jesus can wash us from the sin of this world. Secondly, there's the enemy. The enemy hopes that him pretending to be a lion will scare us and keep us distracted from the fact that we are dead in our sins. And then thirdly, the flesh. Our nature is sinful from our birth. Before we meet and start to follow Jesus, sin is all we know and understand. Our physical desires will never want us to submit to Jesus and live a life of spiritual focus. Our word says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And truth be told, we've all been saved from something.
Indeed, Pastor Tony. Thing two, we're all saved by and through something. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. See, Paul tells us here that it's because of or through God's great love for us, that is by his grace that we are saved. Did you catch that? I'm gonna, it's my rewind. My rewind, sorry. Right, I'll do that. So what he's saying is by God's grace we are saved. What it means is we were dead. We were all dead, Christina, all of us. And there's so many still in this world that still are spiritually dead. But because of his great love and his mercy, God sent Jesus. Isn't that amazing to know that because he loved us so much, he sent his only son to die for us, Marianne. And he died in our place. Whew. In our place, he died. And when we accept that gift, then God makes us alive spiritually. We're no longer dead, but we are alive. He takes us from death to life. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Many of you that have recently been baptized or preparing to be baptized right now, you'll know that this is something that Alex and our deacons walk you through as we help you understand how this scripture and how baptism connects us to the Father, connects us to him through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The truth is, many people tend to minimize, actually, Pastor Tony, the severity of their sin. Mm. Oh, that's just a little bit. I do this, but I don't do that. I don't do what he does, but I do this. I don't do what she does, I do this. But the reality is, Mike, that there's only one place in scripture that references one sin may be greater than the other. We don't have time for a whole Bible study on that, but it's when Jesus is before Pilate. Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate's saying, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? Jesus says to him, you don't have this scripture up there. He says, you have no power but the power that's given to you by my Father who is in heaven. So he that delivered me to you commits the greater sin. Some people even overestimate their inclusion or the part they play in their actual conversion. The nerve. As if they could do it themselves, right? But God, they'll say God did his part and then I did my part. Yeah, okay. But the results of those type of whacked out thoughts is where people fail to see the glorious and the marvelous access we have to the Father and how great that truly, truly is. The fact is, we're all saved by and through something.
That's good. And then the last thing is that we are all saved for something. In this final installment, Paul shows us that we have been saved for something. Look what he says. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, in the NIV, it says that we are God's masterpiece. Let that sink in for a hot second. You are God's masterpiece. You are a priceless piece of art in God's eyes. If the world is God's art museum, you would be roped off and unable to be touched. If you were God's refrigerator, you'd be on it, proudly displayed for all guests to see. But people are sitting around admitting the art's craftsmanship, admiring his craftsmanship. But according to our scripture verse, these masterpieces were created for a purpose, in advance for us to do. See, this summer, the student ministry, we actually taught on this subject leading into our student serve initiative, kind of gearing up for it for these last 2 months. We walk them through this acronym to help them discover what their ministry shape is. I'm half tempted to throw a pop quiz on the kids over there.
Hey, do it.
All right. So if it's an acronym for shape, can anybody tell me what S is that was not in the first service? What do you got, Eve? It's been a couple months. I'll let you off. All right.
Just know you're on TV.
So. Yeah. Spiritual gifts. Sorry, Eve Weeks. I didn't mean to call you out like that. Spiritual gifts. S is for spiritual gifts. H is what are you passionate about? It's your heart. What are you passionate about? A is your abilities. What are you good at? What are you good at? I am not good at this stuff. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not. P is personality. Are you extroverted? Are you introverted? Are you a thinker? Are you passive? Are you an Olaf? Are you a Care Bear? Are you excited about life? Are you willing? Whatever. It's your personality. And then lastly, E is experience. And we tell students that people can't argue with what you've actually been through. God has allowed you to go through those situations for a reason. And we might not know it at the time, but God will use your experience to share his love with someone in your life. And you will use those experiences to walk with somebody through the mud on their spiritual journey. Just between services today, I discovered, I had a student come and say that they're going through a similar experience that I went through as a senior in high school. And they said, it's okay. And I went, no, it's not. And all I can do is give them a hug and say, I'm here for you. And walk with them through the mud. But with that in mind, with this idea of to do, you know, to be do the things that we're created for, I want to add a bit of caution. In one sentence, Paul tells us that works cannot save a person, which they can't. And then in this next sentence, he says that we're created for good works. You see, all too often we spend so much time emphasizing this fact that works can't save us. And if we aren't careful, it can lead to lazy faith.
Yeah.
And when this happens, we forget another very clear message of the New Testament. That a saved person should do good works, not to be saved, but because they are saved.
Yeah, yeah. That's good, Pastor Tony. And it reminds me of a quote by John Calvin. And it says this, it says, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. Mm. Yeah. And the scripture support for that is in James 2 and 26, it says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We must never forget that our good works come about because God prepared them before for us. He prepared them knowing we would step into them so that we could work them and we could work through them. And we do them because God created us to walk in them. Even when we were in our hopeless and helpless conditions, even when we were dead in our sins, Paul tells us how marvelous God's grace truly was and is even still. And though we were dead in our sins, God made us alive. And that is something that we should rejoice about no matter what's happening around us, that God did that for us. He created these situations knowing that he was preparing us to be able to step into them. And for that reason, let us remain committed to staying under the shadow of the cross. Because when we stay under the shadow of the cross, we remember what Jesus did for us, that he didn't deserve to die in our stead. It should have been us, but he died for us. When we stay in the shadow of the cross, we remember to remain eternally grateful for everything that God has done for us and remember that it is because of him that we live, move, and have our being, and that is how we should reflect him to the world. That is how we should reflect him on our jobs, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are. If it's in the grocery store, Aaron, when they see us, they should see Jesus. When they meet us, when they hear us talk, they should meet Jesus, because we are celebrating in our service what it means to move from death to life. This was a spiritual conversation, but it's very so much a real life conversation today, because as believers, what that means is we know we live this life to live again. We live this life because death is assured if Jesus delays his coming. So we must remember that what our responsibility is as believers, as faith carriers. And our transformative truth, or our big idea, if you will, for today is simply only the love of God and the blood of Jesus can take us from death to life. Pray with us today. Father, we honor you and we bless you for, in spite of all things, this is a day that you've made. A day that we've never seen, nor a day shall we ever see again, Father. But you have positioned us, Father, to hear this word, to hear your heart, to even realize in a greater way just what you did by sacrificing your only son for us. And for that, Father, we love you. For that, Father, we thank you for taking us from death to life. And because of that, we will live for you and do our best in all that we do to resemble you and reflect you well, because we may be the only Jesus that some people may ever see. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.